Namaste, this is Giuliano for Infinity Foundation, and today we have a very special guest, a young man from Africa, Arjuna, who defines himself as a proud practitioner of Dharma, and he is one of the administrators of the Hinduism in Africa page on Facebook, and it's going to be very interesting because we both come from an international background, non-Indian background of practitioners of Dharma. And I want him to share his experience with us to show, especially in this moment when many people are in India itself are leaving the tradition and adopting Western traditions, like, oh, because it's more trendy, because it's more universal. And we are in a context in which Dharma is universal and is applicable to many different cultures. So welcome, Arjuna.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us. And could you talk a little bit about your personal journey? How did you get into Dharma? And how are your background and how people reacted and how what it is to be a Dharmic in your country? Share it with us, please.
Thank you for inviting me to this wonderful platform. My name is Arjuna Dadzi. Actually, I didn't join Hinduism or I didn't join Sanatana Dharma. I was actually born into it. You see, my mom and my dad were the ones. My mom was a Muslim and my dad was a Christian. So they converted and joined Hinduism and later they got married in Hinduism and gave birth to me. So I was actually born into Dharma. Uh-huh. So I'm currently 27 years now. So I'll say my 27 years now in Dharma has been wonderful, though there have been ups and downs as a practitioner over here in my country, Ghana. Well, I would say, for instance, that for my family, my mom's side comes from a background in which they are so understandable. Like, you know, they are they have this kind of like open acceptance to whoever you are. So my mom quite told me some time ago that when she first joined Hinduism, you know, her parents and aunties were like, "Age, like, what kind of religion is this?" And, you know, but, you know, as time went on, they just accepted her like that. And, you know, in my mom's family too, they also have Christians. And it was like, it was a blend, you know. So when it comes to my household, we have Christians, Muslims living together in one household, like harmony. So for me, I would say that growing up amongst my family members, I didn't have any issue or I didn't face any discrimination growing up in my family, being a Hindu or being a practitioner of Sanatana Dharma. Growing up and going to school, that was when, you know, I started facing a little bit of discrimination here and there. But, you know, Sanatana Dharma teaches you about what tolerance. So growing up, I had this natural sense of tolerance, in essence that even when I go to school and my friends will be mocking me, "Hey, your girls have 30 hands, your girls have plenty eyes, your girls has 10 heads," you know, they kind of like use that to intimidate you, to make you feel lost. You know, they're like, you don't, you know, have a sense of leaving, you know, you have to leave Hinduism and come to Christianity. Anytime they start, I'm like, "Whoa, take your time. If you don't understand, let me explain it to you." So I always have that patience and that zeal to always explain to my friends the concept of Dharma, why the Mutis have this term of arms. You know, I have that patience for them. So going along, it only happens when I enter into a new community. But along the line, whenever I get to explain most of the concepts of Dharma to them, they tend to, you know, get to understand me much more better and become more tolerant. Uh-huh. So that's my journey, and that's how I've carried it across all over.
Very good. And I found it interesting because in Rajiv Malhotra, which is one of our propounders, or one of the founders of is the founder of Infinity Foundation, he talks about the word tolerance itself. It's a very complicated word because we talk about mutual respect. Because tolerate, if you tolerate someone at your table, like eating with you, "I'm tolerating you. I don't like you, but I'm tolerating you." And then I guess today the concept that it's mutual respect is much better, you know, because I respect you and you respect me. And we are different, but we have those differences, but we respect each other is much better than tolerance. But what I find interesting in your journey and in your country especially is that you actually have a relevant Hindu community, like you are the second generation. No? Mm-hmm. And I was talking to some other people and they say, I went into Dharma, I had a journey myself, by myself, freely. You know, I joined this community. And I wanted to talk a little bit how this community was formed in your country. What happened? Could you tell us a little bit about the history and how it is today, the families, how it works? You have weddings, how does it work for you guys?
Okay, so Hinduism, before Ghana attained independence, had six, you know, most of their six migrated from India to the Gold Coast to come and trade along with the coastal settlers over there. So along the line, you know, they formed a little community in which they practice and worship. It wasn't long after Ghana attained independence in which Indians also started trooping into their country to, you know, to set up businesses and also to work with the local community. However, in March 1975, that was when the foundation stone was laid by His Holiness Swami Krishnananda. He initiated the first African monk in the whole of Africa, which is our revered guru, Swami Gananandaji Saraswati. He then laid that foundation stone and introduced Hinduism officially into the country. So by then, His Holiness Swami Krishnananda comes to Gold Coast, which is now Ghana, every year to organize, you know, classes and discourses on Vedanta, you know, and other teachings to the few devotees or the few Ghanaian devotees at that time that were present or that had interest in the spirituality. So through that, they opened the gateway by getting a few members of the community that were interested. They had a place to worship, and that place that they set up for us to worship has been the bedrock of Hinduism in Ghana, in a sense that now we have our own temples, five temples across Ghana and one in Togo. It serves as what the community to which the Ghanaians, or I would say the diasporans, or when I say the diasporans, I mean Indians that come from far and wide. Whenever they come to Ghana, their first point of or call of contact is the temple in Ghana, and that temple goes by the Hindu branch of Africa. So this is how it started. It started little by little, and along the line, you know, because Swami Gananda was able to blend a bit of the local scene, like you said, Hinduism has a connection with native traditional settings, and our great guru was able to, you know, fuse some bit of the traditional setting with Hinduism to make the locals or to make Ghanaians understand and appreciate the religion more. So it won't be like, okay, it will be like one of those normal conversions that, like, you know, somebody will just come tell you, come join my religion, and I'll no. He was able to fuse it. So it generated a lot of interest. And along the line, we've had several Ghanaians doing weddings there, the Dharmic way or the Vedic way. And recently, or last 2 years, a very prominent journalist did a wedding, and he did it strictly according to the Vedic way, and it generated a lot of interest, and people kept asking questions. Wow, so there's Hinduism in Ghana. Wow, so there are people who also heard it for the first time, and, you know, they were interested. They were like, wow. And also, one of the things too that is also helping the Hindu community in Ghana is the TV stations. They have these Indian soaps or telenovelas that they show that portrays the motifs inside the series, you know, and people get to understand, oh, okay, so this is how Lord Shiva looks like, oh, this is how Mother Kali, oh, this is how. So when they come across a Hindu or who is a Ghanaian, then it picks in their interest. Oh, so how do you guys worship? How do you guys go about your this? And do you guys also worship the way? So it has opened the gateway and it has made a lot of Ghanaians more tolerant. And hence, now we have more than 3,000 families over here in Ghana, and we keep increasing, we keep growing, you know. And one thing that has also helped the community is that we don't close our gates. Whenever somebody or a Ghanaian or maybe somebody from Islam or Christianity has questions, we are always open, ready to satisfy their curiosity. So, and hence, it makes them like, oh, so the religion is not that scary after all, you know. So that has been the spread of Hinduism till now. And each day and each time passes by, we get more members that are coming in or that are trooping to learn. Recently, we had one of the premier universities in Ghana, University of Ghana, have their students come over to learn from us in order to make their students also understand that there are so many religions in Ghana and we are all diverse in our own way. So that it's also what helps spread the information out there so that people become more informed about how Dharma is.
Okay, that's great. And could you talk a little bit more about the native religions in Ghana? Like, because what happens in Brazil, as I told you before this interview, we were talking, is that the native religions, sometimes they are demonized, you know, the Christians mostly, that they say, well, this is, you have to leave those ways because it's from the demon, you have to convert to Christianity, you know. And what I notice is that Dharma has an openness to nature, to ecology, to this ecosystem, and is not really violent towards mm-hmm. it, but there's a lot of possibilities to dialogue with the native traditions, not only from Ghana, from Brazil, South America, from the native indigenous in Brazil, from everywhere. Dharma brings this kind inbuilt in it, this kind of possibility to dialogue. How this happens in Ghana, and how could you point out some things that are similar between those traditions, in case you'd have the knowledge?
Okay, so in Ghana here, we have the African traditional religion, you know, and when you look at the African traditional religion and the whole concept about African traditional religion, African traditional religion doesn't believe in one singular deity. They have various deities that they attribute to nature and hence worship those images or those forms pertaining toward nature. So for instance, when I look at African traditional religion, they have names and deities that they worship the rain god. When you look at Hinduism, in Hinduism, you have Indra. You get it? So over here in African traditional religion, for them, they are like our brothers, which is why I said that His Holiness Swami Gyanananda Ji was able to fuse some form or some little aspect of the African traditional religion into Hinduism. So it has made people even from that side of what the African traditional religion appreciate it even more than the Christians, because when you go deeper into African traditional religion, you realize that Hinduism and African traditional religion aren't much different. They are almost very similar in the way they adore their multis. So for instance, when you look at African traditional religion, they have days for particular deities, just as Hinduism, we have particular days for worshiping of Lord Ram, Lord Krishna, Navaratri, and co. So when you look at the similarities between them, they even accept us more and understand us much more better than the Christians. Uh-huh. So in Ghana here, the African traditional religion are much, much more open to us compared to the Christians and the Muslims over there. So we have that similarity over there. And also when you look at the African traditional religion, the way and manner in which they design their drums and play their drums, when you look at Hinduism, the way we play the tabla and all those things, they are so similar. And the sound in which the tabla sounds is same as the way when you come to the African traditional religion, when they are hitting the drums and, you know, they are invoking their deities or the presence of their deities for them, it's almost so similar. So for them, they are so, so open to us, and they are so much, they even appreciate us more compared to the Christians and the Muslims. So there's not much difference between the traditional community over here and Hinduism. So we are, our doors are always open for them, and they always come around to us, come and learn more from us.
That's great. That's great. And this shows that the Dharma is universal. It's not something pertaining to a country. It has many possibilities to open up and integrate with the native religions in a non-exclusive way, and more dialogue and more mutual respect, as I say at the beginning. And I also am interested in this dialogue in Brazil, because we also have many native traditions here. And I would agree with you, it's pretty much the same also in Brazil, you know, because those native religions, they worship the yajnas, as you say in Hinduism, say the yajnas, you know, the nature, humanity, you know, the ancestors, and all those things are present in most native religions all around the world. And it was kind of forgotten in Semitic religions. You know, they don't have this aspect, and it's very important. And well, this is great, you know, very good to know about the Hinduism in Ghana. And Arjuna is administrator of the Hinduism in Africa page, which has about 55,000 followers. You can follow them on Facebook also. It's a very interesting, they are always posting content relevant to Dharma, not only in Africa, but they are the dates, the festivities, their communities. If you want to know their community, they're posting videos. It's a very thriving, very interesting community for Hindus all over the world to know them. And I would like you to give a message to the young people all over the world who are interested in Dharma, and if they want to, how does it work in your life as a young man, the values, and how does it help you? If you could give us a message, even to the Indians itself, who are say, oh, this is not trendy, this is tradition of our grandfathers, we are not much interested. So you could, as a non-Indian, you could give them a message.
Okay, so my message to both Indians and non-Indians out there is that Sanatana Dharma is a great religion, and over the course of years, I've realized how much, even in India, most of the Indians over there look down upon themselves in relation to the practice of Dharma, in a sense that they feel intimidated by the Muslims or the Christians over there. My message to them is they shouldn't feel intimidated. They should feel proud, because Sanatana Dharma has a lot of values to offer. It helps shapes your life. I had a friend who was once a violent person. Like, he was really rowdy, very, very, very rowdy. And I began to teach him more about Sanatana Dharma and how to become a more calm person, or how to have a much more stable mind. Over the course of years, he could see the difference between how he was, between his previous lifestyle and his current lifestyle. And he has really improved a lot. He always thanks me for having that patience, you know, to guide him to overcome some of these things. And that's what Sanatana Dharma is. It's not just about worshiping. It's also about guiding you, building you, having that kind of mutual respect for everybody and nature. Despite the fact that maybe you might find yourself in a community that is not really tolerant to you, that shouldn't break your spirit, that shouldn't break your soul. That should rather motivate you to propagate the message out there that Sanatana Dharma is, yes, indeed, the greatest religion and the only religion that has the capability to what make mankind safe and strong.
Thank you very much, my friend. Thank you for joining us. All the best for you, my brothers in Ghana. You are welcome to Brazil anytime. Also,
yeah, thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much. Namaste.